Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, for as we try our best, Lord, to train up our youth in the way that they should go, so when they're old, they won't depart from it, Lord. Thank you for this Youth Sunday. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for just your presence being with us from the Sunday schools, Lord, from the worship to the word. Thank you for being here with us, Lord. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path that illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, decaying world. God, we need your help. We need your word. Not only speak to our ears, Lord, but let us discern. Speak to our minds. Speak to our heart. Then let us apply. Let us live what we hear, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for sustaining us through another 365 days. We bless you for it, Lord, through the ups, the downs, the goods, the bad. We thank you, Lord, for guiding and directing us, loving and protecting us, Lord, carrying us through 2017 and leading us into 2018. Lord, we give you the glory for each day. We don't wait for one day. We give you the glory for each and every day. We thank you for each and every day. We celebrate each and every day, Lord, because you resurrected on that third day. And you conquered death, hell, sin, and the grave. And we are truly free indeed in Christ. And we thank you and we bless you. Anoint your word. Speak to your people, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And Chris, I'm going to ask you to cut on the heater. Let's take a vote. It's always 50-50. I mean, it's not only cold, but who's freezing in here? Wow. We got people freezing in here. Someone even asked me if we paid the bill. Pastor, we're not paying the bill. No, we can't. We ain't paying the bill, so we can't cut on the heat. Hold that, Tracy. So, I know somebody said, Pastor, we paying the heat bill? Yeah, we paying it. Well, Pastor, can we cut on the... Yes, okay. So we apologize. Sometimes it's hard to kind of determine what's too hot, what's too cold, but did we get the heater cut on? Yeah. Okay, the heater's on. All right. Amen. So we are at Daniel 1 and 5. It is our Youth Sunday. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for our youth. Amen. Our youth and our young adults. This message is for everyone. There is emphasis on the youth, but it is for everyone. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were teenagers at the time. Somewhere around 16, 17 years old. They were led away into captivity because of something, unfortunately, that the grown-ups had done. Amen? So we know that we have to try our best to stay right for our kids' sake. Somebody say amen. But we pick it up. Let's pick up the story at verse 3. Daniel 1 and 3, and the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring, and you should have underlined, certain of the king's children of Israel and of the king's seed of the princes. So the king, he wanted certain kids. He didn't want all the children because some of them he already had. He don't need the ones he already had. He wanted the ones that he didn't have. So he said, I need the ones so I can basically... in our vernacular, we would say, so I can turn them out. Then we get to verse 5. He says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. You should have that underlined as well. And the wine which he drank, so nourishing them or feeding them or influencing them 3 years, and at the end they might stand before the king, or they might serve the king. King wanted to influence them with his meat for 3 years. family is not about the meat, it's about the mentality. He wanted to try and eliminate their kingdom mentality. So if I can feed them all types of stuff for 3 years, they'll think differently. It wasn't about the food, it was about the influence. It wasn't about the wine, it was intoxicating them with his ways. So we talked about it before, we have to be very careful of who we allow to influence us. God help us, Lord, help our children now. So many things trying to influence our kids. Take a quick look, Dominique, turn, and you all turn quickly to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. This is why the king had to try and influence them, because they had already been taught in the ways of God. I would say most of our youth in this church, most of them have been taught in the ways of God. They've been in church. Certain things they've been taught, those are the certain ones that the world is going after. And I share with you part of my testimony. I didn't grow up in church. My mom taught me about God, and mom snuck in. Good morning, mom. Mom is here this morning. And my niece Katie, they're here. But we did not, as all eight of us growing up, we did not go to church. So we weren't brought up in the word, which is different from Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They were brought up in church. Most of the youth in here were brought up in church. They know the word. That's why the world is after them. So we read last week how they were to teach them, write it on the doorpost, write it everywhere, write the word of God everywhere. When you're sitting down, talk about it. When you stand up, you talk about it. When you go, you talk about it. When you come, you talk about it. That's the parents, that's the men teaching the kids every day. So here we go. Look at Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Because sometimes we don't know what God requires of us. This is what was required of Daniel and the other young men. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to reverence the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, that your lifestyle should reflect that you're walking with God, to love God, and to serve who? The Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul. So the king has to influence them because they've already been taught from day one, serve God. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Verse 13, to keep the commandments, keep the word of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your well-being. Commandments aren't a list of do's and don'ts. In the Hebrew, it's a prescription. And most of us are familiar with prescriptions because we've been to the doctor. So what is God prescribing? That you follow his word so that you can be well. It's not for God to be well. God is alive and well. He's the first to last out. God doesn't need any help. The prescription, the commandments for us so we can live well. So that's what they've been taught, Brother Jerry. And so the king said, get those ones who've been taught this word, so we got to influence them and intoxicate them with our influence and with our wine. Let me finish with verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord your God. The earth also with all therein is. So God owns everything. That's why we serve God. Because it's none like him. And everything is his. So that's what they've been taught. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 1. And the king appointed them, Daniel 1 and 5, when you're there, say amen. Amen. Dominique handling business back there. Way to go, Dominique. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them, influencing them 3 years, at the end thereof they might serve before the king. They had already been taught from day one to serve the Lord, so the king wants to influence them for 3 years. We talked about the influence of a meal. Make no mistake. Ladies, when that guy's inviting you out for a meal, it's more than just a meal. He wants to see if he can influence you. He already likes you. Now he wants to see how far can I go. Let me take her out for a meal. Somebody say amen. Guys, say amen. I remember in college. Yes, I'm going to tell the story. I come into my apartment one day and my roommate and his girlfriend are arguing because they're dating, but she got invited by another guy to go out to dinner. All right, since I'm recording this, let me change the names to protect the innocent and the guilty. So my roommate was Bob. Henrietta is the girl, and Larry is the other guy on campus who wants to take her out. And so I come in, they're arguing, and so I just go to the room. They're in the kitchen, and I just go right into the room. And later he says, hey, man, you know, this dude, Larry's got the nerve to... But he was really upset with her because she was like, I don't see anything wrong with it. He said, if she's my girl. If she's my girl, why is she going out with another guy? So, fast forward. Bob and Henrietta, of course, they break up, and Larry and Henrietta get married. That's how that story ended. And she was just trying to tell him, it's just a meal. It's just a meal. And they got married. Ladies, it's more than a meal. He already got his eyes set on you. He already got his mind made up. He's trying to see how far can he go. Let's go out to dinner. Here you go. King's doing the same thing. And he's trying to do it for 3 years. We've already talked about the comparison with college. Why do you think college is 4 years? Going to have our kids in their brain for 4 years. If they're not fluent in the word, if not in the word, they come out of college with their heads screwed on backwards because they've been eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine for 4 years. Youth, you have to go to college with the mentality that you are going on a missions adventure to try and rescue those lost souls that are at college. Otherwise, you will eat the king's meat and get turned out. No question about it. Verse 6, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel. Let me break down their names for you so we can see the game that was really being played. The children of Judah, the children of praise. Daniel, his name means God is my judge. Hananiah, God has favored me. Mishael, who is what God is. And Azariah, Jehovah has helped. All their names had God in them. So then first thing they do in verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, he had to change their name. He had to get God out of the picture. Sounds familiar? We've talked about get rid of the Pledge of Allegiance, get God out of the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, take prayer out of school, get God out of it so I can influence them and turn them out. First thing they did was change their name. Verse 7, Belshazzar, Lord of the Straitened Treasure. Really, Shadrach, the great scribe. Meshach, guest of a king. Abednego, servant of Nebo, which is a false god. Our youth and those of us that are not so young, we have to know who we are. They're trying to take God out of everything. It's a satanic plot to take God out of everything. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Underline that. that Daniel purposed in his heart. He determined, he fixed, he set, he rehearsed. Daniel had already rehearsed in his heart what he was going to do, who he was going to serve, what he was going to be, who he was going to allow to influence his life. We have to rehearse in our heart. On the job, it's certain things you're not going to do. It should be. You have to rehearse it already. At school, youth, it have to be certain things you're not going to do, you're not going to say, you're not going to get involved in. At the gym, you have to rehearse, it's certain things I'm not going to do. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to feed into it. In church, there's certain things you have to rehearse in your heart. I'm not going to get involved in any foolishness, drama, gossip, games, gimmicks. I'm not going to do it. And you already know here, we already rehearsed that stuff. Get out if that's your game. We do not play that. We love God. We love God's people. Amen. We love God's word. We don't do games, tricks, gimmicks, and drama. We just don't do it. Amen. We've already rehearsed that. You have to rehearse. You have to serve God on purpose. Youth, I know many of you take notes. Write it down. I have to serve God on purpose. You can't serve God on accident. That's not a rehearsal. No, Roy does plays. So just show up and just do your lines on the spot. No, we're not going to freestyle God. We're not going to do that. We're going to rehearse how we're going to live for God. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. So Daniel purposed, Daniel rehearsed, we're at in his heart, in everything that he had. The heart means the center of his feelings, his appetites, his emotions, his courage. Daniel rehearsed in everything that he had that he's not going to defile himself. Underline defile, which means to pollute, to desecrate. Even in slang terms, it means to use the bathroom on yourself. Daniel rehearsed and purposed in his heart, I'm not going to use the bathroom on myself. Somebody say amen. I hope y'all rehearsing that every day too. It's called being potty trained in the spirit. Amen. For us to make it plain. How many of you have had kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? All right. And when you had to potty train our kids, I remember our three kids and potty training them. And I'm not going to say anything, but they made it. Okay? Amen. That's a good thing. They made it. And Daniel had purpose in his heart. I'm going to be potty trained as a Christian. I'm not going to go around committing sin and using a bathroom on myself, because it also means, defile means to stain. I'm not going to stain myself. He on purpose, he said he's not going to do it. Youth, you have to do it on purpose. Those of us not so young, we have to purposely live for God. Say, I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to get influenced. I'm not going to drink the wine and just hang out. And if anything happens, whatever happens, it's happened. It happens. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart, he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Underline that. God had brought Daniel into favor. Make a note. Pray for favor. Yes. Don't pray for a job. Don't pray for a new house. Don't pray for a car. Don't pray for. Pray for favor from God. God, give us favor in everything that we try to do as a church. I'm not going to pray for a building. We're going to pray for the favor of God on this church. And whatever God has for us, he has it. Pray for the favor of God over your kids and over your life, over your house. And make a note, I don't have time to unpack it now, but when you go through the Bible and the favor of God was on them, they were living an obedient life. Some people in the church, favor ain't fair. Oh, you better stop that. It's not like you just get favor. When you line up with the scripture, they're living an obedient life and the favor of God comes upon them through obedience. Now, it's not to say that we don't have grace and mercy. We do get grace and mercy, right? Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. But I'm saying pray for favor, just the loving kindness of God over all that you do. See, because you could, because the Bible says, and I was reading in Proverbs as we've been reading, that the Lord causes the sun to shine on the just and unjust. So you could see people who are not serving God getting blessed because God said he causes the sun to shine on the just and unjust. But that's not the favor of God. That's the mercy of God. And family, we haven't been called to live by mercy. We live by covenant. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Don't go around just banking on the mercy of God. You're not supposed to live by the mercy of God. You're supposed to live by the word of God and the covenant of God. Thank God for the mercy. Somebody say amen. Thank God for the grace, but that's not how we're supposed to live our life. I'm not banking on the mercy. Go out and do something stupid and say, God, please, and I'm begging on your mercy, right? Don't live your life like that. Walk in obedience and walk in the favor of God and walk according to the word of God. That's how we're supposed to live. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs, the favor of God. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who had appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse looking or worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then you should make me endanger my head to the king. Then he's going to cut my head off. When he looks at you and see that you look different than they look, he's going to say, what's wrong with him? He said, well, I didn't feed him. Why didn't you cut his head off? That's it. Then said Daniel to Belshazzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12, test your servants. I'm begging you. Give us 10 days. Let them give us fruit and vegetables to eat and water to drink. Make a note. 10 days. I think we talked about this last time, but hey, this is New Year, right? Don't get nervous, Pastor. We're not going to call a 10-day fast. Don't we? Not going to do that. Because, Sister Tara, you know I like to eat. I ain't going to be trying to tell y'all to fast for 10 days, and I'm going to Roscoe's. I ain't going to do that to y'all. I'm not going to do that to y'all. Amen, Sister Kathy. But here's the challenge. From January 1 to January 10, spend 10 minutes praying, worshiping, reading God's word. For 10 days, pray, read, worship. And those of you who get up early, then you know that's our fasting time because we haven't had our meal, right? Amen. So we don't fast for like 10 days. We've been fasting, some of us, for 365. We get up every morning and spend that time before our first meal fasting. So we don't need a 10-day fast. We're going to a 365-day fast. We get up early and spend that time before breakfast as our fasting time. But I'm saying 10 minutes, youth. 10 minutes, those young adults. 10 minutes, those of us. Can you do that for God who's given you so much? Wow. 10 minutes. So what's the suggestion? The suggestion is the Proverbs. So that's we've been reading a chapter a day. So that's Proverbs 1 through 10. All right, and emphasis, especially chapter 3, chapter 4, oh my gosh, chapter 5, chapter 8. All right, all of them, okay. Yeah. Because you get in chapter 7, you can't leave out chapter 7. That's an incredible chapter. But just 10 minutes for 10 days, and then see if you want to continue. That's all I'm asking you to do. Family, if we're not fluent in the word, we will be influenced by the other king, by the wrong king. And just make a note, somebody's influencing you already. We learned that last year. You're worshiping something and you're being influenced by somebody. You're worshiping something and you're being influenced by somebody. I'm putting the challenge out to worship God and be influenced by God, at least for the first 10 days of this year. We don't do it as a religious activity. We do it as a relationship opportunity. Don't do anything out of religion. Well, pastor said, I got to read. No, that's don't do it. Do it because you want to connect with God, because 2018, we don't know what's going to happen. But I want to go into 2018 connected to God. I tell you that much. I don't want to get disconnected from God in 2018. So this is not a religious activity. This is a relationship opportunity with God. And look what he said. The word prove is to test. Verse 12, tests. And I'm telling you, until you put God to the test, you'll never know what God can do. Let me say that again. Until you put God to the test, until you give God 100% of what you are, you'll never know what God can do. You'll never know. And I think that's the worst thing that can happen in this life, is that we transition and we never gave God 100% and we just never accomplished and got to the level of our godly purpose through Christ Jesus. I did a lot of stuff, but I never reached the point what God had set for me because I never gave him 100%. I think that's one of the worst lives you can live as a Christian. The world's going to do what the world's going to do, but I'm talking about those of us that are loving and living for God. Verse 13. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and you will see for and as you see, deal with your servants. As you see us, you look with us, as you look at us. And oftentimes we tell people, don't judge me by what you see. But right here, he's saying, I want you to judge me by what you see. I want you to look at my life and tell me what you see. Make a note, family. You want someone to look at your life and tell them what you see. And we, frankly, we need to look at our own life, look in that mirror and say, God, what am I looking at? It's one of the toughest things we have to do, especially it's a new year, right? Everybody's looking for change. Everybody's looking for advancement. Look in the mirror and say, God, what am I really doing? What do I really look like to you? Just you and God, nobody else around. God, what do I really look like? What am I really about in you? I know that's a tough one. I'll say amen myself. Amen. God, what am I really about? Am I really connected to you? What do I look like to you? Verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them or tested them 10 days. Make a note. He really didn't consent because it already told us in verse 9 how God had brought Daniel into favor. So it was really God. It was the favor of God. So he consented. Why? Because the favor of God was on his life. That's why you pray for God's favor on your life. And so family, just always remain humble as you pray for the favor of God, because it's really not you. You thank God for everything that you have, your house, your car, your job, your business. Thank God, for it's the favor of God. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them, tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Make a note of that. Verse 16, thus Melzar took away the portion of the king's meat, said, let me get this stuff out of here and get rid of the wine, and gave them fruits and vegetables. It's That's where we get the term Daniel fast. Amen. You've heard of the Daniel fast, and that's fruit, vegetable, and water. Not to mention that it probably is somewhat healthier than the stuff we'll probably eat at the hometown buffet today. Somebody say amen. But it's still the 31st, so the new year. Got you on the technicality. It's still technically the 31st. Got a few of these read this. I haven't been reading anything this since. Sister Kathy, I've been skipping all my read this. All right. Family, I'm begging you to put God to the test. Pray and fast and read each morning for 10 days and watch God work in your life. Read and pray and fast before your first meal of the day for 10 days and watch God speak to your heart. Here you go. Pray for discernment. Pray for revelation knowledge. Pray for strength to walk away from certain temptations and distractions. Pray that God will show you which friends are godly friends and which friends are not good for you at all. Amen, Mama. Not because your parents have said it, but because God has revealed it to you. Remember, it's not a religious activity. This is a habit. I want to be a part of my life so I can hear from God and stay connected to God. So God can lead and direct my life to the place that God has ordained for my life to be. Also read this. It says, keep a journal of how God has spoken to your life and revealed to you specific godly wisdom, and then determine if you want to make it a habit of staying connected to God. So keep a journal for the next 10 days as you're praying and as you're reading and as you're fasting. Keep a journal of what God is speaking to your heart going into 2018. Somebody say amen. Go into 2018 connected to God. I know my mom keeps a prayer journal, and when I go by her house sometimes, I sit with her and she kind of shares with me what's in her journal. So, Mom, write down for the next 10 days all that God is speaking to your heart in your journal for 2018 and beyond. Somebody say amen. I got one more read this. I already said this. Family, you and I will never know what God can do until we put him to the test. You can spend your entire life and never reach your full potential in God because you never made the choice to die to self and put God to the test. Some are fearful that if they put God to the test, God will reveal himself to them, and then they will have to exchange their will for God's will in their life. And they don't want to give God control of the W-H-E-E-L and die to their W-I-L-L. They don't want Jesus to take the wheel, as the song says. Family, we have to limit. We're not going to get rid of it. We have to limit the king's influence in our life, the wrong king. Why they took it away in verse 16. Let me get this stuff out of here. Verse 17. As for these four children, underline, what do you think you should underline? God gave. Make no mistake, family. I tell you all the time. I would like to take credit for a lot of things, but I can't take credit for anything. I'm not that smart. I'm not that skilled. I'm not that clever. I'm not that bright. I'm not that talented. But God gave. I still don't know how I graduated from college. Amen. I'm telling you, some of y'all just got it like that. Bam. Yeah, I still don't know how I graduated from college. The grace, the favor of God. And so I can't stand here and try and pretend like I have it all together, because I understand that God gave. Keeps me humble. We're getting ready to enter in our sixth year as a church because God gave. And when you understand that, it keeps you humble. That's why it's just about God. It has to always be about God. We can't get too smart and then try and say, well, let's do this. And let's, well, if I'm praying and fasting daily because I want to hear from God. And if we're a church that continues to pray and fast daily, then we'll hear from God and we'll move lockstep where God is taking us. Because we understand that God gave. The same thing for your house and your marriage and everything else. It's all about a covenant. The king was trying to get them to break the covenant they had with God. They were taught the covenant with God. They were circumcised on the eighth day. All these young men were. And they had a covenant. They had been taught. And so, I mean, you look at it, the closest thing we have to a covenant is our marriage. Amen? And some would say, well, anyway, that's the closest thing we're supposed to have to our relationship with God is our marriage. It's a covenant. If you let the wrong king start influencing your marriage, then you'll try and figure out what happened. Because the wrong king will come in and influence you. And start intoxicating you and telling you that, you know, it's not that serious and everybody's doing it and you need to be happy. But God's called you to be holy and to be in covenant. But you let the wrong king start influence you and then your covenant is broken. Same thing here. It's the same concept. Don't let anything break the covenant between you and God or you and your spouse. Verse 17 again, and we'll stop at 10:30 because, you know, it's, well, we're getting close. But hey, I don't know if we'll make it to the end of the message, but we stop when we stop. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 17. As for these four children, they called them children, but their translation is young men. As for these young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. Somebody say amen. And wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So as you're praying, it's okay to ask God, give me visions, give me dreams to show you what my purpose is. Out of the 12 chapters in this book, there's nine out of the 12 deals with dreams and visions that Daniel had. God, show me. I mean, I'm telling you, some people don't want to know because then I got to change some things. Okay, then you keep living below what God has for you. 10 days praying, fasting. God, give me dreams. Let me read it again. God, give me knowledge. Give me skill in all learning, Lord. Give me wisdom. And give me understanding in all visions and dreams. God, I'm begging you. I'm putting you to the test. I want to know what you have for my life in 2018 and beyond. It is kind of scary when you look because we have no idea what's going to happen. There's a lot of foolishness going on in the world today. But put God to the test. And for those of us that are self-employed in our businesses and even with the church, you know, I look out on Sunday mornings as I'm studying, I'm going over my notes. I'm not studying Sunday morning, but I'm reviewing my notes. Okay. I don't wake up Sunday morning like, what am I going to do? Okay, let me just come up with something. But I look out the window, and so it's all a faith walk. I'm looking out the window today, and it's foggy. I'm like, is anybody going to come out in the fog? I don't even feel like going out today. But thank God you're all here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But it's a faith because you don't know. Then those of us that are self-employed, God, am I going to get any contracts in 20? What's going to happen, God? If you don't make it happen, then I'm done.
That's right.
I don't have a job. I have a faith walk. I'm on a journey. That's what I'm saying. I think I shared this before. When I had direct deposit when I was teaching, I really love God, but I kind of like love God on my way because I had direct deposit. Regardless of what happened, that direct deposit hit every, what was the 20th and the 10th. So I'm cool. I can kind of not really study because I got that direct deposit's going to hit. I don't have direct deposit anymore. Actually, I do. It's direct deposit from God. Somebody say amen. So I'm telling us, as we get into it, we don't know. We'd like to say that, but we really don't know. That's why it's so imperative that we stay connected to God. All right, so where are we going to end at? We got to stop somewhere. All right, let's read verse 18. Now at the end of 10 days, the king has said he should bring them in. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king examined them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Make a note. All this, it's nothing could compare to these two that were walking with, these four that were walking with God. Nothing could compare. The other young man who was all influenced by the king couldn't compare. Youth, make a note. When you take a stand for God, it's the best stand you could ever take. Because number one, God's created you to stand out and not to fit in anyway. And our youth, God didn't give you all that intelligence and that brilliance and his spirit so you can go to college and school and forget about him. Verse 20, we'll finish it up at 21. And in all manner of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times, make a note, 10 times better. So each day God was just multiplying exponentially their knowledge because they were spending it with God. It's, you can't compare, the foolishness of the world cannot compare to the wisdom of God. In all matter of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Somebody make a note because I'm getting ready to go there with the astrologers and the satanic zodiac signs. Somebody make a note. I'm going there. Hey, this is like the 31st. So everybody's going to have a birthday in 2018. Amen. Lord willing. Right? Because it's a new year. Anybody not going to have a birthday in 2018? See? All right. And this is my charge to you personally. Don't let anyone try and slap some type of satanic zodiac sign over you. Wow, it got quiet. But anyway, let me say it again. Don't let them put that. What sign are you? You know what? Actually, I worship the one who created the stars, so I don't play the sign game. Thank you, Sister Tar. But look what the scripture says. It's not. Look what the scripture says. And in all matter of understanding and wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers. So why are you stopping at the stars? Why are you living your life by the horoscope? Why are you letting somebody put that satanic stuff on you? God's wisdom is 10 times higher than that. Get into the Word. The read this says, you were created to stand out and not to fit in. You're going to stand out when you tell them, hey, look, I really worship the one who created the stars. I'm not going to stop at the stars. Yeah, you're going to stand out. But here it goes. It says, God created you as a treasure, as a special treasure, not to live like turned out trash. God created you as a special treasure, not to live like turned out trash. Don't let nobody slap no satanic zodiac sign on you. All right, Pastor, it's time. Yes, it is. Verse 21. But okay, don't miss this. Verse 21. Let me end with this. Well, not really. It's the first closing, but I'm getting really close. Verse 21, make a note, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Cat, don't miss that. Daniel outlasted King Nebuchadnezzar. God is going to outlast all this temporary stuff. That king who was trying to influence and turn him out, he died. And then here's King Cyrus, and Daniel is still standing strong when King Cyrus comes in. Don't sell out for the temporary. Daniel continued with God even after the ungodly king was no longer the king. Don't miss that. You can sell yourself out for a temporary king that will be here today and gone tomorrow. A temporary job, a temporary boy, a temporary girl, a temporary feeling, a temporary fad. And then you and I will have to live with the shame and the guilt of knowing that we turned our back on the permanent God for something that was counterfeit. Yes, God will forgive us, but what did we forfeit through disobedience? Then it says, choose the permanent over the counterfeit each and every day. Bless you. All right, last scripture, and I'm closing it up. Joshua, Dominique, take us to Joshua 24. So as we take the challenge of going into 2018, wow. Lord, keep us safe tonight and every night. And God, help us. What did I say? Joshua 24. Just want to let you know you have a choice. It's your choice in 2018 how you're going to live. Daniel made the choice based on a permanent God and not a temporary intoxication of a temporary king. All right, Pastor, stay focused. All right. Okay, I was supposed to go to 14, but look at 13. This is God, and I've given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and dwelling in them. Of the vineyards and olives which you planted not, do you eat? But here's where I was trying to go, verses 14 and 15. And now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods, put away the temporary false gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then make a choice. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord in 2018, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods, the false gods which this world is serving, that are on the other side of the flood, and the gods of the Amorites, in whose land are the Americans, in whose land you dwell. But as for me, my house, in 2018, we're going to serve the Lord. Let's just close out in prayer. Lord, it's nothing more to be said. We have a choice. Thank you, Lord. I don't care how you were born, whatever you want to say, but God said, choose, you have a choice. Jesus said, you can and you must be born again. Everyone has a choice to be born again through Jesus Christ. Choose this day. Are you going to trust God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and the strength? That's what he requires of you. You know what's required of you. God said it in his word. Moses said it in Deuteronomy. Joshua says it in the book of Joshua. Hey, choose who you're going to say. If it's evil, then do your thing. But as for me and my house, because there is a choice, because God didn't create robots, we have a choice. So, Lord, as we prepare to step out of 2017 and step into 2018, God, help us to make the choice. Give us the strength through the power of your Holy Spirit to live for you. We need you today more than ever. We need to trust you today more than ever. And thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm praying right now for those under the sound of my voice who will take the 10-day challenge. And then those who will take the 365-day challenge, Lord. God, give us wisdom and understanding 10 times better than anything else we will encounter. Give us discernment, Lord. Let us see it. Give us understanding and visions and dreams, Lord. Give us revelation knowledge. Let us see what you have for our life. We know that we're to go out and make disciples and build your kingdom. Show us our method. Show us the way you want us to do it. Let us stand out as a special treasure you created us to be. Let us live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And not just dependent on the mercy and the grace of God. Oh, but we thank you for the mercy and the grace of God, Lord. And the favor of God. But let us walk in obedience. I'm praying right now, Lord. We need you in 2018 more than we did in 2017. We need to stay connected to you, Lord, in 2018, each and every day of the year. Pray for our youth. Cover our youth. Pray a special prayer over Jalen and Justin, who are going back to Tennessee and New Orleans, respectively, Lord. Cover them, those young men of God. Remind them of who they are in God each and every day of their life. Don't let them forget. Limit their influence of the world, Lord. Don't let them get intoxicated with the king's meat and his wine. Let them stand out like the brilliant young men that you favored them and you've created them to be. Pray for all our youth as they get ready to go back to school next week. Cover and keep them. Let them stand out and not fit in. Pray for us as parents. Give us wisdom in 2018 to raise our kids, to love our kids, to forgive our kids, to pray for our kids. Give us direction as a church, Lord, so we could always be right where you've called us to be. Oh, we love you and we bless you. We thank you for this special day. It is the day that you have made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Bless your people, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.